Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I want to preface this story by stating that I've had my fair share of encounters with creepy men. This situation, however, scared the literal life out of me. It's the first time I genuinely felt like my life was in danger. My husband and I had to drive 17 hours last week to North Carolina for a wedding. It was a very tiring week, and we basically spent the entire time rushing from one family gathering to another. We were staying in a motel for the first time we were there. We had already been at this motel for a few days, by the time the day of the actual wedding rolled around. The day of the wedding was hectic. We were rushing around, trying to get ready to leave for the venue. My husband got ready before me so he could do some last-minute things before we had to leave. That left me alone in our motel room to get ready before he returned. It was brutally hot outside, and I decided to do my hair and makeup in just my underwear, so I wouldn't be sweating in my nice dress the whole time. The way this motel was laid out, the sink and mirror were in the general open area of the room, with the toilet and shower in another room, so anyone walking by our room window could see me standing in the mirror. However, I did have the curtains closed, but these curtains were a little bit sheer, so you could technically see the shadow of someone walking by on the outside, or you could see maybe the silhouette of me inside the room. I was curling my hair in the mirror when I noticed the silhouette of a man walking by my room window. As he's passing my window, I see him stop and start trying to look into my window. At first, I thought it was my husband trying to see if I was ready, so I paid no mind to it. But the longer the guy stood there, bobbing his head around, trying to get a better look through the curtains, I began to realize it was not my husband, because obviously, why wouldn't he just come in? Now I'm starting to get a little freaked out. Before I could do anything, though, I watched as this guy starts to go for my room door. My utter shock and horror came when he was actually able to open the door and walked right inside. Before my husband left, he forgot to pull the door shut all the way, until it clicked into its lock. He was very upset at himself when I told him this later. So now I am face to face with this man, and I am in my underwear, no less. He was at least 6 feet tall, and standing in my room. I thought to myself, this is it. He's going to attack you. That's a very scary realization to have. I also thought to myself that you're going to have to burn his eye sockets out with this curling iron if you want to survive. For a few seconds, probably only a second or two, but it felt longer. He just stood there staring at me like I was a piece of meat, and he was starving, ready to pounce on me like prey. He then began to smile the most evil-looking toothy grin I have ever seen, and started mumbling something under his breath. I really couldn't make out what he was saying completely, but I did make out the words, "Pretty lady, and come here." I don't know if it was the fight or flight response, but I suddenly got pissed, and I charged towards him, ready to strike him with my hot curling iron. I screamed as loud as I could, "Get the heck out of here." It must have startled him, because he jumped back out onto the balcony of the motel. I saw this as my chance, and I ran for the door. I luckily was able to get to the door and slam it shut right before he was about to make his second attempt at entering inside. I immediately collapsed on the floor, sobbing. I was literally too scared to move from that spot until my husband came back about 15 minutes later. I told him the whole thing, and he was freaked out. He initially wanted to find the guy so he could beat the shit out of him, but I refused to let him leave my side. He must have apologized at least 1,000 times during the rest of our trip for not making sure that the door was locked before leaving. But I told him that today, and that whole trip really, was so rushed, I could see how it happened. We went to the motel management and told them the story as well. And the police were obviously called, and I gave them a description of the guy so they could see if it was someone who was staying in the motel. After going around to the few motel occupants, they said no one matched his description, and concluded that he wasn't staying there. Obviously, we were late to the wedding that day, and the whole experience just ruined what should have been a happy time. We planned on staying another day before our long drive home, but we both just wanted out of there as soon as possible. We skipped most of the reception and went back to the motel, packed up, and left. I'm usually so vigilant with locking my doors, especially when I'm home alone. Just goes to show you, all it takes is that one time for you to forget to check your locks, and that certain unwanted guest is inviting themselves in. Last year, my best friend Allie and I went on this great American road trip, trying to ski in as many states as possible in the month that we had taken off from work. We did a lot of skiing, and a lot of driving. and even a lot of sleeping in various couches, truck stops, and of course, in motels. Most motels were fine. Some had great free breakfasts, and some had dirty hot tubs that left us scrubbing ourselves in the shower and joking about getting pregnant from the water. Some had weird stains that we tried to not think about. Some were spotless but cold, and a few were amazing. But only one was terrifying. We stopped at the motel around 10:30 after a long day of skiing, followed by a good 6 hours of driving. We were tired and sore and ready for bed. We had made some wrong turns, and we were not exactly sure where we were. We didn't want to use our data on our Canadian phones, so we were navigating old school with a map. It was mildly unsuccessful, but we were pretty sure we had a few hours of driving until the next town, and we were not looking forward to it. So when we saw the glorious neon sign that blinked Motel and Vacancy at us, we didn't need to say anything. We both knew that was where we were staying for the night. As we pulled into the front of the office, I noted that we were the only people staying there. I told myself that it wasn't creepy. We were stopping close to a summer tourist spot midwinter. Of course there would be an excess of rooms. In fact, maybe we should have considered ourselves lucky that they were open at all. It was definitely not creepy. We entered the office, and a shrill little bell announced our entry to the world. We waited for someone to come to the front desk. Then we waited a bit longer. We shared looks with lifted eyebrows and tapped our fingers impatiently on the desk. "Hello?" Allie called out in silence. "Somebody here?" We waited for a few more minutes, then the door behind the counter slowly opened. An old man poked his head out, spotted us, and his face split into a wide grin. "Guests," he said. "You know, I thought I heard something, but I told myself it was just my imagination. You know, just my imagination. We don't get a lot of visitors around this time. And two beautiful young ladies, too. Ah, I'm so sorry I kept you waiting. I just couldn't believe that I had such luck. Welcome, welcome, welcome." He was certainly an odd duck, but I used to work long, lonely night shifts, so I know how excited you can get when something happens. "So, travel-weary strangers, can I offer you a bed to rest your head?" He smiled. "Yeah, how much is a double room?" He looked at us, grin not wavering. $99 for two beds and $79 for one. I was ready to splurge for the two beds. Allie moved a lot in her sleep and hogged the covers. Last night she had kept waking me up. "Let's do the two beds." I looked at her pleadingly. She gave me a quick look filled with annoyance. And I looked back at the man. His grin had faded. He looked as annoyed as Allie for a moment. When he noticed me looking at him, his grin snapped back into place. "Ah, actually it seems we only have the one bedrooms ready. I'm so sorry." "Wait, what?" I couldn't help but burst out. "There are like no people here." "Oh yes, that is the problem, isn't it? Sometimes we don't keep all the rooms prepped in the winter. Save costs, you know." I mean, I considered that. It didn't make sense at all, but I was too tired to argue. "You know what? For such pretty ladies, I'll give you a discount. How about $69 for the one bedroom?" "We'll take it," Allie responded before I even had time to think. "Thank you. You can pay by card, right?" No, I'm afraid not. We never got around to that modern stuff. Gotta stay off the grid, right?" He laughed at his own joke. After that, I shuddered involuntarily. We had cash. It was fine. It was creepy, but we were tired. We paid, got the keys, and drove up and parked in front of the room. I grabbed my stuff from the car, unlocked the door, and surveyed the room. It looked clean enough. The bed was big, and I was tired as hell. "Hey, I'm gonna go for a little walk, actually. My legs are so stiff," Allie said from behind me. "Wanna come?" I eyed the bed. It looked too comfortable. Allie had a good point, but that bed was speaking to me. "Nah, I'll just shower and crash." "Okay, cool, no problem. I won't be very long," she said. Then she turned and left. I slammed the door shut behind me and stripped out of my clothes as fast as I could. I jumped in the shower and the luxurious feeling of hot water ran down my body. I had to force myself to get out. I went into the room, put on my PJs, and laid down on the bed. Allie still wasn't back yet, but her nighttime stroll sometimes lasted as long as an hour, even when she was this tired. She has a hard time falling asleep sometimes, and those walks apparently helped her. I got my phone out and tried connecting to the Wi-Fi, but it didn't work. I immediately got annoyed. Not because I really needed the Wi-Fi, but because I had paid for it, and I wanted it. So I just laid there, kind of annoyed and glaring at the ceiling fan. It was a weird model, something black sticking out from the bottom. I had never seen that before. I wondered idly what it did. Then I thought about how we were the only people staying here, and how Allie was walking somewhere alone in the dark, and how I didn't know where she was, and how creepy that guy had been when he laughed at his own joke about staying off the grid. Then the familiar feeling of fear started creeping into my guts. I knew where my mind was going. I have an overactive imagination. I tend to turn every situation into a horror movie in my head. It can be a real problem in my dating life. I think most guys are serial killers, and Allie always makes fun of me for it. I thought about how the guy had offered us two beds and then refused to give it to us. Did he want us in this room specifically, and why? He probably had some creepy fantasy of two young girls sharing a bed. Ugh, I shook my head, trying to stop my mind from spinning out of control. I get out of the bed and I went over to the huge mirror on the wall. I got my hair out of the towel and started brushing it. I couldn't quite get rid of the uneasy feeling at the pit of my stomach. I knew I wouldn't sleep well that night. For some reason, I thought of the one-way mirror scene in Cabin in the Woods. God, why do I watch horror movies, by the way? They always come back to me at the worst times. I vaguely recalled that there's a way to check if it's a real mirror. I touched the mirror and there was no gap. I could see my eyes widening in fear in the mirror. No, wait, that can't be it. I tried to reason with myself. That's just ridiculous. This is fine. We're fine. It's gotta be the other way around. But maybe. I realized I could check the bathroom mirror. It was one of those medicine cabinet mirrors. That one was clearly real. I walked slowly into the bathroom. Please be the same, please be the same, I muttered. I wiped the fogged mirror, took a breath, and slowly pressed my index finger against the surface. Ice filled my veins. A gap. I took a deep breath, trying to clear my mind. We needed to get out of there. And where was Allie? I felt panic bubbling. I needed to get out of there. Okay, but play it cool, I thought. They could be watching. Who the hell are they? I can't let them know I know. I have to get out of here. The black thing on the fan. My breath caught in my throat. It had to be a camera. I went back into the bedroom and started putting my stuff back in my little bag. I hoped it looked innocent enough. Maybe we wanted an early start, right? Maybe I had OCD and liked all my stuff in my bag. It was fine. I went to put the bag in the car and I turned the doorknob. But it didn't move. I tried to stay calm and to not panic. They could be watching. Maybe it was jammed. I tried the handle again. Nothing. I used all my force. Nothing. I got my phone out and figured I'd text Allie and call the police. I had to do something. Of course, no signal. I literally wanted to cry. I looked around the room for a window. For the first time, I noticed they had bars in front of them. I've seen that before, of course. It's a safety precaution. My ground floor apartment in the city also had them so that people can't break in. I never before considered that they also very effectively stop people from breaking out, though, as well. I figured the door must unlock from the outside only. Once you're in the room, you're stuck there. I pinned all of my hopes on that idea. Allie would come back, unlock the door, and we'd get out of there. The next 10 minutes were the longest of my life. I kept trying to come up with a plan, with something, but my mind was drowning in adrenaline. Finally, I heard footsteps outside. Allie was back. I got up, standing right next to the door, and she put the key in the lock, turned it, and it opened. Allie, get in the car right now, I said as I pushed her out of the room. What, why? There's a camera in the room, I hissed as I pushed her back. Her eyes went wide, and she immediately obliged. I unlocked the car, threw my bag in the back, and we both jumped in. The door to the adjacent room bursted open, and the old man came running out. He slammed his hands on the hood as if he was trying to hold us back with his bare hands. We both screamed as I skidded out of there. Even in my panic, I could see several shapes behind him in the room. He had not been alone. I just kept driving, praying that they weren't following us. We have to call the police, Allie said after an hour of driving. We have to. I agreed. She used her precious data to find the number of the local sheriff's office and called them up. I only heard half of the conversation. Hey, I want to report an almost crime. I'm sorry. I'm not quite sure. What? No, sir. It's not a joke. We were staying at this hotel, and there was a camera. And one of those one-way mirrors, I interjected. What? She turned to me. Yeah, tell him. And a one-way mirror. And the door didn't unlock from the inside, she said, looking to me for confirmation. I nodded. There were people in the room behind that mirror, too. Her eyes went wide in fear as she repeated the information. Then she described the location of the motel. Yes. No, she sounded uncertain. We've been skiing. She frowned. Yeah? No, that's fine. We'd rather not. I looked at her quizzically. No, really. We're already out of state. We just wanted to let you know. And then she abruptly hung up. What was that? I asked. I don't know. He wanted us to come back and give a statement. Shouldn't we? I asked. She didn't say anything for a little while. I don't know. I got a really bad vibe. Let's not, please. In small town American sheriff's office. That's likely totally how you die in horror movies. We're not in a horror movie, though. Are you sure? I shrugged. I wasn't really stoked on the idea of going back, either. Frankly, I was still worried that they were following us. I really didn't want to get pushed off the road by some psycho hillbilly motel manager. And we had told the police. We had done our part. Or so I thought. But yesterday, there was a story in the news about three young girls going missing. They were road tripping in that area. Never made it back to Seattle. I can't help but wonder if they stopped at that same motel. I also can't help but wonder what would have happened if Allie didn't take that walk. If we both got locked in that room. What the people in the other room expected. And what were they going to do? If they just watch, or if... Well, if Allie and I could have been that missing person's story. After talking to my mom the other day, I just remembered a shady encounter my brother had. When I was 8 years old, I'm 20 now, my entire family moved from San Diego County to the middle of nowhere in freaking Colorado. After less than 2 years of being there and having to put up with the ridiculous weather, my oldest brother decided he finally had enough. So he got his GED and packed up all of his things in his crappy car, left his Ferris behind for us to take care of since they're illegal in California, and headed west to move in with a friend. Or at least he tried to. He didn't even make it 5 hours before his car completely died, because it couldn't handle driving through the Rockies. He was stranded in a tiny podunk town after dark, and his car got towed to a garage, while the tow truck driver offered to drive him to a cheap but nice motel to spend the night since we couldn't come get him until the next day. They passed by a Motel 6 or some other chain motel like that, but the driver said, "Ugh, I wouldn't leave my dog in that place." There's a way nicer motel just down the road for the same price, and then kept driving until they showed up at this really run-down looking place. My brother thought it looked pretty bad, but he's kind of a shy and non-confrontational person. Plus, he's scrawny and completely unintimidating, so he didn't say anything and just thanked the guy. He couldn't see it at night, but when my mom and I got there the next day, we realized just how weird this place was. They had a big pool right smack dab in the middle of the parking lot, but it was drained dry and looked like it had never been used. The entire family that owned the motel, mom, dad, daughter, and son, sat on plastic lawn chairs in between the pool and the building that the front desk was in, facing the motel rooms, literally all day long.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Then we saw the inside of his room. The bathroom had a small window, which isn't unusual, but it was only 2 feet off the ground, and next to the toilet, with nothing covering it or obstructing the view of anyone using the toilet, meaning anyone outside, like the owners, could catch you doing your business. There wasn't even a spot for a toilet paper holder, so the roll just had to sit on a shelf, and the whole room looked pretty run down. My brother then quietly told us he barely got any sleep the night before because he was so terrified. At first, we assumed it was just because he was sleeping in a strange place by himself when he was only 17. His room was the kind where it's connected to the room next to it by a hallway, only a few feet long, with a door in each room, so large families staying in adjacent rooms can keep it open and get between the two without having to deal with keys. He said he heard faint noises coming from the room next to his the night before, so he opened his door to see what was going on, and there was enough of a gap underneath to see that someone was standing right on the other side of the far door. My brother watched for a few minutes, and the guy's shadow never shifted. So he got creeped out and closed his own door, making sure to lock it, and then tried to go to bed. He woke up at some point to a strange sound, and sat there trying to identify it for a minute, before suddenly he realized it was a doorknob rattling. The guy had finally opened his own door, and was trying to get into my brother's room. The sound stopped after a few minutes, but he was too scared to fall back asleep, in case the guy tried again and picked a lock. And he was telling us the story quietly, just in case the guy could hear him through the walls. He never saw what he looked like, but who knows if the guy watched him while he checked into the room or something. I have no idea if he was planning on hurting my brother, but I'm sure he was up to no good. Add this to the strange, frustrating conversation that my mom had with the owner of the hotel, over the phone on the drive up, and the weird-ass mechanic shop the car was towed to. And the town became one of the creepiest places that we had ever had the misfortune of stopping in. It would have costed more to fix the car than it was actually worth, so we just abandoned it and my brother had to come back home again, which he was actually very happy to do after such a freaky experience. So this happened a little over 2 years ago now, and I wanted to post it somewhere just to look back on it one day and never forget the lesson that I learned. Disclaimer, yes, this is real, but I wish it wasn't. It was 2016 and I had just started a new job at a motel. It was low pay, but I needed an office job. One of my friends, Michael, got me this job. For a few days I did training with the owner in the mornings, and for two nights, Michael trained me. Our job was 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. Nothing exciting, just checking guests in and doing paperwork. My boss, however, the owner, went away with his wife on vacation for a week, which is attributed to the swift training I had to endure. So it was my first night alone on the night shift. There was a monitor with security cameras around the motel's property and large glass windows all around the office building with a glass door. There was no night window like most motels have. It was fairly early in the night, and about 1 a.m. I was just doing my normal check-in paperwork when a man walks in and asks if we have any rooms available. Usually if someone is sketchy, my boss has me lie and say no, but he seems normal at the moment. Without hesitation, I said yes, of course, just for one. And he replies yes. So I begin creating the reservation on the computer, when I notice he starts swatting the air and making spitting noises, as if he's being surrounded by flies. I tried to ignore it, as far as I was convinced it wasn't my business. So I tried to check him into the room quickly as possible. I give him his key and he's on his way. At this point in time, I could be described as very timid. I had a lot going on in my personal life at the time, so I hope you can all understand my reaction to what happens next. The man comes back from his room and slams his hand on the glass door and causes me to jump. Absolutely frightened to the bone, I look up to see him just staring at me. He cracks the door and puts his head through and says, "I can't get into my room. Why won't you let me into my room?" And my only defense is trying to be helpful, so I replied, "Maybe there's something wrong with your key. Let me give you another one." The look he had in his eyes was inexplicable. I felt like I was in absolute danger. I handed him his new key and he went back to his room. I tried texting Michael because he is the one who trained me, though it was the middle of the night and he was asleep. With no reply from Michael, I noticed the man trudging down the stairs to come back, and I go into absolute panic mode. I run to the back office and lock the door, and I pull out my pocket knife. It's important to keep protection when working at night. I hear the man in the office yelling, "Hello, hello, why won't you let me into my room? Do you not like me?" Me being an absolute idiot and not standing my ground and calling the police when I'm feeling scared, I decide to take the situation on alone. I reply, "Hey, I'm just on the phone. I'll be right out." I then start calling Michael over and over for help, but no answer. I decide to take a few deep breaths and then step out of the office. The man was not there. He was in the bathroom. I start hearing him talking to himself angrily, saying, "Kill her, kill her." Then my heart sank. Still being an idiot and not calling the police, he comes out and I say, "Hey, your key was broken. Let me escort you to your room." He agrees, thankfully. I was wearing a long sleeve sweater, so with my arms down, I was able to hide my knife in my hand while holding it. I began to walk outside and he seemed insistent to walk behind me. We began making our way to the staircase and up towards his room. I was sweating from how nervous I was, continuously looking behind me to make sure he wasn't going to make a move. He stops at a room and I stop at his room a few doors down. I smile and say, "Oh, that's the wrong room. This is your room here," as it clearly said on the door. The whole time he was going to someone else's room and trying to open the door, and I felt bad for them. Quickly ran back to the office and locked the door. The next guest I checked in was a police officer from a few towns away. I felt bad for confiding in them about the guy, but they seemed willing to keep an eye out and an ear. The next night, the man came back, but I had the doors locked and told him that we were all booked up. I explained to my boss what happened when he got back from vacation. However, he didn't take me very seriously. I continued to work there on the night shift for the next year, where many other strange encounters happened. Moral of the story is, if you ever feel uncomfortable, always call the police.
I've always been a very antisocial person. I've tried my best to grow out of it, but the older I've got, the worse it has become. I have a family that I love dearly and that I'm unbelievably thankful for, but sometimes I just need my space and time alone to decompress and do what I love. I built a cabin in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, in the city of Marquette. The cabin is in the middle of the woods, and I go hunting up there, as well as ice fishing. That's mainly how I spend my time there. When I'm not doing that, I'm either cooking or relaxing in the cabin by my fireplace, reading a book or drawing. I do lots of light cardio workouts as well. I really do enjoy my time up there alone, but I do miss my family practically the whole time I'm there. However, it's just something that I love to do, and my wife completely understands and supports me in my hobbies, as do I with her. This particular time I am talking about, I was staying in the cabin from Thursday night and I would leave Monday morning. Well, that was the plan anyways. I ended up leaving after the second day of being there. On the first night, there was a horrible unexpected snowstorm, and it was already late, so I decided to warm up in bed and read my book until I fell asleep. I woke up at the crack of dawn and made myself breakfast. I got dressed and got all of my hunting gear and I was on my way. I walked about a mile, maybe a little bit more, until I found what I thought would be a good spot to set up. I sat and waited quietly and patiently for a deer to pass by. About 45 minutes later, I finally saw one. It was a decent-sized buck, but he was quite far away. He was completely still before I took the shot, but still, I missed. Soon after that, I moved around and relocated to another spot that I found. That was maybe another half mile of a walk. I set my area up, and once again I waited. Then I heard something behind me, so instinctively I turned around to see what it was. It was a man, probably a few years older than I was. He wasn't a hunter. I knew because he didn't have any hunting gear at all, and he wasn't wearing orange either. "Hello," I said, "can I help you?" "Yes, thank you, sir. I'm so happy I found someone. My family and I are stranded on the side of the road about 2 miles from here, and we are lost. My family is in the car waiting for me right now." Then he started asking me for directions, to which I helped him the best I could. Now keep in mind, you don't get very good cell phone service out here, so he couldn't call anybody. He said all he needed was $5 and a gas can, and that his car stalled because he ran out of fuel while he was lost and driving around. Out of the kindness of my heart, I walked him back to my cabin, and I drove him to the nearest gas station and filled up my gas can with about $10 worth of gas, and I gave it to him. And I offered to drive him back to his car. He took my offer. So off we were, headed towards his car, where his family was supposedly stranded. As we were driving and getting closer to his stranded car, he was being strangely quiet, which gave me a bad feeling and made me feel a bit timid. We finally found his car, and that's when he told me to stop the car and to let him out. It was an old, beat-up red Pontiac. Before he got out of the car, he told me to drive away as fast as I could. He told me that the men in the car were going to try and rob me and beat me up. I was so confused because it all happened so quickly, but I took his word for it and drove off. As I drove past the car, I saw two other men, one in the driver's seat and the other in the front passenger seat, and they both had ski masks on, and one of them had what looked like to be a crowbar. I'm sure they had other weapons as well. I wasn't sure if the whole plan was to rob me, and that maybe he started to feel bad for me and changed his mind, and that was his way of saving me from getting jumped and robbed, or whatever the hell was going on. That's kind of what I feel like happened. Maybe they really did need gas, but I think the man that I helped out, which never told me his name by the way, was originally trying to set me up to get robbed. Maybe it was because I had a damn rifle with me, and he got cold feet about the situation. I have no idea. I didn't know what to do, and I obviously couldn't trust that guy enough that he wouldn't spill to them where my cabin was, which was where I was staying for the time being. I felt my safety was definitely at stake here, so I packed my things and left to go home early. I left about an hour after that whole incident. And honestly, the worst part about this day was, I came home to find my wife cheating on me with another man. I didn't call and tell my wife that I was coming home early, and I'm glad I didn't, because I probably never would have found out she was being unfaithful and having an affair. We are divorced now, and I live alone. I'm supposed to be going to the Upper Peninsula this year again, but I'm probably going to bring a friend with me this time because of what happened last time.
I'll first give a little backstory to my living situation. I was about 10, possibly 11, when my mom found a job working as a live-in manager to a quaint little motel at the end of my town. She took the job, and we packed up and left my childhood home. When we first moved in, it was a disaster. Holes everywhere, and certain parts of the house smelled horrible. We later learned this was because the old manager, Steve, was a druggie, and his wife was making and dealing meth out of there. A couple months into living there, we had sort of fixed the place up and made it more livable. At this point, my mom was working full-time at the desk. We had mostly stayed towards the back of the house because of the odd setup. The way the front desk where you check in is laid out was basically in our living room. It was a tiny cramped room with just the desk on one side and a door on the other, which led to our living room. A lot, and I mean a lot of people decided to just open that door whenever they pleased, and often got a view of whatever video game my brother and I were playing. This as a kid already freaked me out, and because of the motel's past, many meth heads came by looking for Steve, and would just walk right in when they didn't believe my mom when she said they didn't work or live there any longer. One time, during summer break, back a year or two after we moved in, I decided to stay up all night and play video games. I made a little nest in the living room, and I made myself comfy. It was around 1 in the morning after hours of Skyrim when I started to hear weird noises. Usually if my mom knew a regular would be late, she would leave a key in an envelope for them, which looking back doesn't seem smart at all. I heard talking, and it sounded like two men speaking a different language. I figured that's what they were doing and would leave in a second, but they never did. I continued talking for like 10 minutes before I started to hear them pull on the door. At first it was gentle, as if they were just testing it. As they continued, it seemed to get more frantic and I could almost hear grunting. Soon it was full on banging on the door. I was confident that my parents would hear it, but the room was all the way in the back of the house, which was about three hallways down, so after a minute I figured I might be screwed and that I was probably going to die. I was a super paranoid kid. The banging stopped, and after a few seconds I started to hear tapping at the window behind the desk in the house. I saw very clearly a head from behind the curtain. The windows were high up and he looked to be stretching up to get it. He started to yank on the window, trying to break it open. While he was doing this, I saw movement at the screen door in the kitchen. At this point, I was absolutely shitting myself. I mean, I was petrified. I'm guessing the guy who was at the desk door had now circled around to the screen door while his buddy was prying at the window. He jiggled the doorknob back and forth, after a second of resuming what he was doing earlier and now banging on that door full force. For some reason, through my fear, I decided to try and be a ninja. To up my sneak level, of course, and army crawled into a little office part connected to the desk. There was a key drop-off where people could just shove their keys into when they checked out. That was basically just a hole in the wall. I popped up, all while they were still banging on the door, and grabbed a pencil to lift up the flap. I don't know what I expected to see. They were clearly at the side of the house, but I just had a horrible feeling, like I was being surrounded. Well, it turns out I was right, because when I lifted it, I saw two more men standing at the door, hands in their pockets. I immediately closed it and I almost cried. During this, I failed to notice the hallway light turn on and my parents emerged, looking very distraught. As soon as my dad turned on the kitchen light and shouted, "What the hell?" all the noise stopped and the guys took off running. I could hear one of them shouting something and then nothing, just complete silence. After I told my parents about what happened the best I could through hysterics, they called the police. They showed up about an hour later and took the report. It didn't seem like this happened to anyone else in the town, but the police seemed to think it was some random workers and maybe didn't understand that we were closed. I don't know, it seems like they were just kind of race blaming, but I never really got an explanation of that night. All I know is that they didn't seem friendly, and I don't know what they would have done if they got in.